we pray. Lord, open thou my heart to hear, and through thy word to me draw near. Let me thy word e'er pure retain, let me thy child and heir remain. Amen. After some discussion, I think most of us might agree that television, things we see on TV, is rather trashy stuff for the most part. And just watching some of it is probably just plain sinful. But after the bad stuff is over, we probably migrate right back to our favorite TV watching spot. Now, one of the programs, or one of the types of programs that is usually liked is the horror film. Now, there are two types of horror films, the good ones and the bad ones. The good ones are where you have no idea what's going to happen. And the bad ones, of course, are those where you always know what's going to happen. Some person is home alone, hears some sound somewhere in the house, and goes to investigate. Everybody knows the villain's in the closet, and the investigator is still going to go, and usually takes some sort of a weapon, like maybe a rolled up magazine or maybe a rolled up newspaper. And just as we are saying don't, he opens the closet door anyhow. And of course the blood runs all over the stage, and all we can say is, I told you so. Now, movies hardly ever picture the way life really is. If in real life chances are good that I'm going to get killed, I probably will avoid that particular situation. Nobody really wants to get killed. How then do you explain our particular text for today? A man is standing in front of a door behind which was death, but he still opened it. We read from Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 31. He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Look, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will be done. He'll be handed over to the non-Jews. They'll mock and insult him. They will spit on him, scourge and kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of this. It was a mystery to them, and they didn't know what he meant. It sounds a little like the closed door, doesn't it? Jerusalem, however, is the door. The difference is that Jesus knew exactly what was behind the door. He was not unsure at all of what awaited him in Jerusalem. He is not just opening the door to find out what's behind it. He knows full well, and he even tells his disciples that he will be mocked, insulted, spit on, and crucified. And yet, he went anyway. He opened the door. I guess we would call that foolishness. But it was anything but. What it was pure, unadulterated love. Pure, sweet love for sinful mankind and love for his Father, which is in heaven. Only when we see and understand both what Jesus suffered and the extra torment of knowing in advance what was going to happen can we realize a little bit about the love our Savior had and how his action is simple, pure, unmatched, sweet love for us. How brave would we be in the same circumstances with the same foreknowledge that Jesus had? But Jesus knew, And he still walked on through the door for us, for you. We are the reason that Jesus opened the door and in Jerusalem suffered and died. He wanted us in heaven, and we could not be there without such a payment. It needed to be done for the person that he loved, you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. If you need more, listen to the rest of our text, beginning with verse 35. As he came near Jericho, there was a blind man sitting by the road begging, hearing a crowd go by, and he tried to find out what it was all about. Jesus from Nazareth is passing by, they told him. He called, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." Those who went ahead were urging him to be quiet, but he called all the louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he said. "See," Jesus told him, "your faith has made you well." Immediately he could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all the people praised God for what they had seen. Here's Jesus on his death march, with every right to be thinking about other things, to be preoccupied, to be distant from what was going on around him. But what does he do? He hears. In the midst of all his problems, he listens to someone else's. What a lesson we can learn from here. How unlike Christ we really are, and how desperately we need his forgiveness and righteousness credited to our account. Where we failed, Jesus succeeded. Seeking to serve, Jesus heard this man's plea and healed him. And what is more amazing, or just as amazing, is that it was not one of the predominant people of the age. It was a blind beggar, an outcast of society, not one of the leading citizens. And the reaction of the group around him was the same as any other group that was looking to crown some sort of an earthly king. They wanted things right and proper. This beggar was a disgrace, and he was to be quieted, got out of the way. And we can probably see ourselves a little bit in that same attitude. We like things neat, attractive, socially acceptable. And sometimes we lose track of the importance that Jesus placed on every single wretched soul, even if it wasn't a pretty body, a pretty face, something that was socially acceptable. The society of our time, like the society of Jesus' time, have our priorities mixed up. What a great feeling to know that where we are mixed up, Jesus keeps things straight. Where we are thoroughly sinful, Jesus is completely sinless. And where we owe a debt for sin, Jesus has a surplus of forgiveness. Yes, Lent is love. Willingly, he gave his life on the cross out of pure, unselfish love, so that you, out of love and thankfulness, give your life, all of it, to him. We sing of that love in hymn 351, verse 1. 351, verse 1.